5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 225 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Small Creature at the Edge of the Forest by Bug Catcher D-Hawk. I grew up in the woods camping, fishing, and hunting. I'm used to being outside, and I've seen most things there are to see. I've also watched horror movies since I was 10, and nothing really bothers me anymore. About 10 years ago, my wife and I rented a cabin at a campground. It was the last cabin in a group of three, right at the forest's edge, in the very back corner of the campground. This place wasn't even that backwoods. We had phone service, and it was just outside of Bedford, Pennsylvania. The campground wasn't busy at all. That evening, we did our usual campfire with no issues and nothing strange. I remember seeing a flying squirrel whiz past, which is pretty uncommon, but it was a cool thing to see. Eventually, we put out the fire, and my wife went into the cabin to get ready for bed. The cabin had a small open porch with a porch light. I went inside, but my cousin called, so I stepped back out onto the porch to talk. I remember walking around the porch while talking on the phone, and when I walked to the far side of the porch, facing the forest's edge, I froze. My entire body is covered in goosebumps right now just typing this. There was a small, bipedal, gray-colored creature. It was just standing there staring at me, and it never moved. It was no more than 2 feet tall. The color is what really caught my eye, though. It stood out in the darkness a way that I had never seen before. I couldn't make out its features. I slowly backed away into the doorway, never taking my eyes off of it. It was right off of the porch, just outside of the light, maybe 5 feet away, at the edge of the woods. My wife later said that she had never seen me look so terrified in all the years we had been together. She immediately knew something was wrong. My cousin said I just went completely silent on the phone and then hung up. About 30 minutes later, I went back out onto the porch, and it was gone. The next morning, everything seemed normal. We went for a hike, came back, and made lunch. After lunch, we were inside the cabin again, and suddenly everything in the cabin began to shake. One of the loudest sounds I had ever heard flew over us. It only lasted a few seconds. We went outside and saw a few other people standing around, also looking confused. And then it happened again. Fighter jets flew extremely low over the area. I have no idea if they were looking for something or if they were just doing some kind of standard military thing. Either way, it was incredibly unsettling. After they flew over a few more times, we left. We've been back to that campground since, and nothing strange has happened since. I just don't stay in that cabin anymore. I've always wondered what it was. Sometimes I think it might have been an alien, especially with the fighter jets the next day. Well, I hope you enjoyed this story. Let me know if you have any questions. I'd love to talk about this weird experience with others.
A Visit from the Stork Genies by Allie. I should start by saying that I've always had an extremely sharp, long-term memory. I'm a 34-year-old woman, and I can still remember much of my early childhood, dating back to the preschool years. In addition to this, I've always had an incredibly active subconscious and have experienced vivid, lucid, and sometimes even prophetic dreams for most of my life. That being said, many of my earliest core memories are of especially poignant dreams. The one I'm about to describe had to have occurred when I was no older than 3. If I had to guess, I was probably closer to 2. This estimation is based on the fact that the experience occurred in the apartment we lived in during my toddler years, during the early to mid-90s. In this dream, I found myself sitting in a dark room in front of a stage. The backdrop looked like the castle from those old Disney VHS tapes. You know the one. I was sitting in a dark room in front of this lit stage when 2 figures emerged from the castle and entered the stage. I understood those 2 beings to be storks. However, they must have been storks more in a figurative sense than a literal one, because both of them looked more like genie from Aladdin. Now, I know all these Disney references make the experience sound silly, but remember, I was a young child in the 90s. I had very little experience with anything outside of my own home life and the movies I'd watched. It's been said that, when making contact, some otherworldly beings will appear in a form that makes sense to the individual to whom they are appearing. When I think about it now, it's also interesting to note that genies are a type of spirit. Genie from Aladdin was likely the only spiritual being I had ever conceived, at least at that point in my young life. Perhaps this is why these beings chose to appear to me in the form of this beloved cartoon character. Now, back to the story. The storks were delighted to have me in their presence, and conveyed an air of kindness and deep respect. I was being treated like a very special guest, and it was clear that the storks were extremely excited to have me. It seemed as though they were trying to entertain me and make me laugh, scrambling around on the stage performing silly acts, while acknowledging me with great enthusiasm. However, the experience was very frightening to me, and I began to cry. Noticing things weren't going as they had planned, the storks became distressed and frantically tried to console me. They tried singing, but I continued to cry despite their best efforts. Finally, they went back inside the castle, and when they returned, one of them was holding a baby in their arms. It was as if this baby had been the reason for their visit. They seemed to be saying, "Don't cry, don't cry. See? We brought you a baby." Just then, having heard my cries, my mom came running into my bedroom. Just before she woke me up, the two storks quickly scattered back into the castle. It was as if they had really been there in the room with me, and left abruptly in order to avoid detection by my mom. At the very least, I had actually been crying. This is what prompted my mom to wake up and come to my room. Perhaps I'd been crying in my sleep as I dreamt of the storks, or perhaps I hadn't been asleep at all. Whatever the case, my mom rushed to my side, and I told her about the dream and how alarming it had been. She thought they sounded friendly, and said, "Well, when you see them again, tell them I said hi." I never did see them again, and I've been thinking about them ever since. I still wonder what actually happened that night, wishing that I had more information to put the pieces together. I only have my very young perspective to look back on, leaving me with many unanswered questions. My mom can't offer any extra details that might help me fill in the blanks, since she doesn't have any recollection of the incident. And since I had very little perspective at that age, I can only speculate now. Here are some of my working theories. There is, of course, the possibility that it was simply a dream. It could have even been my first dream, or at least my first experience with dream recall, which could be why it felt so scary and vivid. We often remember with acute clarity the first time we learn about or experience something new. I also may have recently learned about the symbolism of storks delivering babies, which would account for the characters in the dream being conceptualized as storks, and the fact that they brought me a baby. Naturally, the other possibility is that this was some sort of interdimensional encounter with otherworldly beings. They could have been spirit guides, beings from another dimension, or even aliens. I've never had much interest in aliens or UFOs, but what I experienced that night does remind me of stories I've heard about friendly encounters with aliens who are interested in learning more about humans. Whatever they were, these figures chose to convey their essence in a friendly, mystical way, resembling the nearest symbol I had for reference, Aladdin's genie. Assuming this was some sort of very real encounter, my next theory is that the baby was my younger sister. I have two younger sisters, the first of which was born in late April of 1995. This would have put her conception date right around late July of 1994, just over a month before my third birthday. That lines up perfectly with my estimation as to how old I was when the encounter occurred. Perhaps these beings presented themselves as one of my favorite Disney characters for the reasons stated above, but called themselves storks because they were there to tell me about my sister, whose soul would soon incarnate into my family. I've recently considered an additional theory. As a new mom, I can't help but entertain the idea that the baby they showed me that night was my now 8-month-old son. The baby shown to me that night had thick, dark hair. My son was born with a full head of thick, dark hair. Of course, my sisters and I were all born that way too, so that doesn't discount the possibility of the baby having been my sister. It also doesn't discount the possibility of this just being a dream, since I probably would have pictured all infants with dark hair based on the baby pictures I'd seen of myself. Still, it's fun to imagine that the beings were desperate enough to cheer me up, that they brought out the very thing they know I love most in this world, my child. Perhaps time works differently in their dimension, and the storks didn't realize that this baby, who would one day be my entire world, would serve little meaning to my 2-year-old self. I wish I could somehow connect with those storks again and learn more about who they are and why they visited me. It's such a mystery, and it's frustrating to think that I will likely never know for sure what happened that night. I'm so glad to have found your podcast, and to finally be sharing this story with others who might be able to offer some insight. What do you think? Was this a dream or something more? And if it was something more, then who or what were these beings?
At the start of the year, when the cold really settles in, that's when I find out which pieces in my closet actually pull their weight. I've been reaching for the same few things over and over, and lately, that's been the wool sweaters that I've gotten from Quince. They've become my default. They're warm without being bulky, they layer easily, and they still look good even after all of the wear that I've put on them. I've had sweaters in the past that looked great at first and then quickly lost their shape, but these ones have held up better than I expected, especially considering the price point. And that's kind of Quince's whole thing. They make the essentials that you actually want to wear. Men's Mongolian cashmere sweaters, wool coats, and outerwear that feels substantial and built for real winter weather. Everything is made up of premium materials by trusted factories that meet high standards and craftsmanship for ethical production. What really sets them apart is that they cut out the middlemen and the traditional retail markups, so you're getting the same quality that you'd expect from luxury brands, just without the luxury prices. It's classic, well-made stuff that doesn't feel disposable, pieces that you'll keep reaching for season after season. And beyond clothing, Quince has also made it easy to pick up quality pieces for home, travel, and everyday essentials, all with the same focus on materials and longevity. Refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/trails for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/trails. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/trails.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
When I saw my first nature spirit, by One Tower 8843. I was taking a day walk at dusk on the same gravel road I always walked. One night, as I was walking, I looked down and saw a very clear, visible, violet-blue, luminescent, cone-shaped energy whirl touching the ground and going up just below my knee. It essentially looked like a tornado, drawing its energy from the ground, with the energy moving in a counterclockwise motion. I blinked my eyes a few times and closed them, then opened them again, thinking there must be something wrong with my vision. But it was still there when I opened my eyes. It moved at the same speed as me, staying right where the grass touched the gravel road. Suddenly I heard a clear voice in my head saying, "I have seen you walking here every night. I am not supposed to talk to you. The older ones say humans cannot be trusted, but I don't listen to them. You are different, and you see me." This young nature spirit around 50 years old, was essentially a curious teenager. He was connected to the earth, a gnome. We walked beside each other for a few minutes and talked, or telepathically talked at least. He then disappeared into the woods. There are many different kinds of nature spirits connected to the elements. Some are tiny, some are huge, some are more individualized, and some are more of a group consciousness. They differ a lot. In my experience, many of them are quite shy and reserved towards humans, at least at first. We need to meet them with respect and humility. Some of these beings are very small, and our human gaze is like arrows to them. The way we zoom in and out on things with our gaze, like a camera, they say we must look in a soft gaze. A softened gaze will also soften your heart. Essentially, we see with our hearts. They speak much about these things. If you wish to connect with these beings, be respectful, have humility, have patience, and tell them you long to meet them. Ask for forgiveness for how we treat nature. After this first encounter, I met many more of them, and they are now a natural part of my life. I know this sounds quite peculiar, and I didn't believe it when I first experienced it, as I am a very rational person and not at all woo-woo. But they are real. They exist.
Living with Frank by Alicia. It hasn't been a secret in my family. We are all aware that we share our home with someone else, and we're rather open about this subject, often talking about what we've experienced and even naming the ghost, Frank. Back in 2020, when the world was in lockdown, I remember working on my college assignments at the kitchen table. From where I sat, my dad's desk was just behind me. Most of the time, he left me to get on with my work. But sometimes he'd stop to chat or even lean over my shoulder to read what I was doing, curious and nosy as always. Well, one day, this new routine occurred. I was sitting at the table, my back facing my dad. As I was typing away, I felt him over my shoulder. The project I was working on was already causing me stress, so without turning around, I said, "Now's not the time. Do you want something?" He didn't answer, but I knew he was still there. I could feel it. The air had grown heavy, the presence unmoving. He was close enough that I felt a faint breath move through my hair and across my cheek, cold and lingering. Annoyed and confused by his silence, I finally turned around to see what he wanted. But there was no one there, just his empty chair. I froze for a moment, trying to make sense of it. Then, hoping he was just playing a prank, I got up and went to find him. When I called his name, his voice answered from upstairs. He said he hadn't been in the room with me at all that day. It had only been me, alone. It seems crazy that this event is the one that has stayed with me the most. Other times I have heard things, even seen people that shouldn't be there. But there is something about the way I felt, feeling someone around you, only to learn you were completely alone. It was far more unsettling than anything else I have experienced. That kind of silence doesn't leave you. Now that the holidays are over, you might be looking at your bank account and really not wanting to celebrate anything. Luckily, Mint Mobile is here to help you cut back on overspending on wireless this January with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. I'm happy using Mint Mobile, and I think you'd enjoy switching too. I get better coverage than my old provider, and save more than just pocket change each month. The savings really do add up. Mint Mobile's end-of-year sale is still going on, but only until the end of the month. Cut out big wireless's bloated plans and unnecessary monthly charges with 50% off 3, 6, or 12 months of unlimited. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. This January, quit overspending on wireless with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. Plans start at $15 a month at mintmobile.com/trails. That's mintmobile.com/trails. Limited time offer. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 a month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Over 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
I Don't Know What I Saw by Nightshade Patel. I believe in spirits and different energies, but I've never really bought into the idea of Hollywood-type horror. This all happened when I was a kid, maybe 6 or 7 years old. I remember my mom was going through her divorce, and I was living with my grandma at the time because she didn't want me around all of the BS she was probably dealing with. Unfortunately, this was a time when I was really sad and vulnerable. I would ask my grandma why my mom wouldn't come and see me, and why everyone was saying that no one wanted me anymore. I heard from a lot of kids at school, since they made fun of my family situation, and I was new there. I felt alone and almost helpless, like I would never have my mom again. Moving on, one night I was sleeping next to my grandma, and I woke up to a very terrifying sound. It was almost not earthly, very uncanny. I opened my eyes, and right there, on the side of the bed, this thing was sitting. I don't know what it was. It resembled a woman, but not a woman. It had long hair, and it was so dark that I could see it clearly in the dark room. I froze in my bed. I was so shaken that I couldn't blink for what felt like a full minute. I think my eyes even started watering. Under the sheets, I slowly tried to reach my grandma's arm with my other hand, and I started poking it hard as I could. Suddenly, I felt blood-like stickiness on my fingers. I thought I had made a hole in my grandma's arm. She didn't respond at all, almost like she was dead. Seeing no hope, I closed my eyes and began to pray. After a few minutes of praying with my eyes shut, I felt silence. Then, nothingness. I opened my eyes and I didn't see anything. Whatever it was gone. The next thing I knew, I woke up, went to my grandma, hugged her, and asked her about the night before. She just said, "Honey, you didn't sleep with me last night." Now, I know this was real because I had my grandma's hair in my hand. I had short hair at the time. I don't know. It's all just scary. I still remember what that thing kept muttering the entire time in this ghastly, disgusting voice. It sounded like, "Kahoom whom." What is that? What does it mean? My grandma brushed it off, thinking maybe I was dreaming. I was terrified, but I know it wasn't a dream. Where did her hair come from? Why did it feel so real? After that, I genuinely had my grandma sleep with me in my room. I remember another time when I heard someone call my name from the guest room and the kitchen. The voice often sounded like my grandma. Whenever I answered, nothing happened. I would go ask my grandma if she had called me, and she said no. After the third or fourth time, she told me not to answer back. She said some negative energy could latch onto me. This wasn't the last time things like this happened to me, though. It's actually kind of ongoing. This is almost a request for information. Has anyone gone through something like this before? What does Ka-Hum-Hum mean? I've searched the internet and found nothing. The thing wasn't speaking any language, just repeating the phrase over and over again. I'm in my 20s now, and I still don't know what it means. Please, if anyone has any information or experience with something similar, let me know.
Going to and Fro the Earth by Samuel. It was a quiet winter night. My girlfriend was away, working the graveyard shift, while I remained alone in our studio apartment that we had just moved into. It was getting late and colder, and I was sitting at my desk. I started dozing off, so I shuffled toward the mattress on the floor. Just as I settled in, a sudden flash of light pierced the living room, like headlights slicing through fog. "This is the second floor," I said to myself. That made no sense. The building across from us was shorter, surrounded by trees. Startled, I peered over the wall that separated the mattress from the window. I didn't see anything other than shadows. It was silent. But as I turned my head back to rest, I saw it. A slender, light gray figure with enormous black eyes crouched silently in the entrance closet by the window. I tried to scream, but could only let out a hollow gasp. The next thing I remember is everything going dark. I felt dazed, suspended in nothingness. My eyes were also smeared with a Vaseline-like paste, blurring my vision. I could only make out silhouettes and flickering lights. And then, I was back. Back in my bed, drenched in sweat that reeked of something foreign, something not mine. I stumbled to the bathroom, heart pounding, and stared into the mirror. I was scared, confused, and trying to piece the dream together. Then I noticed two needle-like marks on my neck. Unfortunately, this is where it ends. The marks healed and nothing else came of it. I don't know what happened, but this is a true story and told to the best of my recollection. And no, it wasn't just a dream.
Has Anyone Ever Experienced Anything Similar by JoJo Brown? I'm a 21-year-old female. I was about 11 years old when I went through this. When I was in, I believe, fourth grade, I think I may have had a spirit attached to me. This was around the time of the Charlie Charlie Challenge, among many other paranormal trends at the time. Although I didn't participate in them, I did find them interesting. I was never really scared of these types of things. But to get to the point, I started to see a little girl in the corner of my eye, and this happened a lot. She started off far away, and I tried to ignore it. Sometimes when I would turn to look, I could see her for just a split second. She never moved and was always very still. She would either look at me or look straight ahead, depending on how she was sitting. She was pale, had dark hair, and looked soulless. Over time, I started to fear her, as I kept seeing her, and she would get closer as the months went on. It got to the point where, one morning, I was getting ready for school, and when I closed the closet door, she was standing behind me, and we were face to face. I remember freezing. I was so scared. I looked away, and when I opened my eyes, she was gone. My mom then walked into the room. The stress from this eventually got so bad that I told my grandma, and she told me to tell the spirit to leave, and I started doing that. She eventually started to move further away from me until the last time I saw her. That was when I was downstairs in the dark, going to get a bottle of water. As I was going up the stairs, I saw her, and it seemed like she was trying to run at me. This time I yelled at her to leave me alone, and that was the last time I saw her. It was the only time I ever saw her physically move. After that experience, I remember feeling relieved, and it just stopped. I've never really had anything remotely like that happen to me again. Can anyone tell me what I may have experienced, or has anyone else experienced something similar? I would like to add that I never had any kind of imaginary friends growing up, and I was always very content playing by myself. I never experienced with any rituals or anything like that. I just watched a lot of paranormal stuff, but I was never scared of it.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hard-working, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Okay, so we have a couple from Spotify and then a couple from Discord. This week, Cheryl on Spotify said, "You don't just happen to randomly happen upon Bingham's Lights. You truly have to end up in the back of one field, looking into another with nothing but trees around." That's a very specific instruction. I'm not quite sure I understand.
Yeah, and says who.
Exactly. I don't know what Cheryl's getting at here. No offense to Cheryl. Maybe she knows something we don't know, but we need some more context than that. We need to know. We need to see the Bingham's Light Bible for that one.
Can you quote the scripture? Handbook even.
Yeah. Beth on Discord also said, "I just listened to episode 213 and I was pumped because I actually grew up in the part of South Carolina near where Bingham's Light allegedly took place. This was always a very spooky urban legend that adults would tell, but I never actually heard such a detailed account as the one on the episode. I never actually got to see it myself because we moved away before I was old enough, but I will say that this entire area is country AF, so there is no telling what is going on out there. But like the author of this story said, I don't recall there being any swamp nearby to support the swamp gas theory. Anyways, I guess I just wanted to say that I was excited to hear a story that literally hit so close to home. Thank you all for such a fun 50-ish minutes every week. I love driving home from work and falling asleep to your stuff. Also, I wish you guys would do another Odd Chats at some point if you ever get the chance. I also enjoy the ramblings and the banter of such a pair of not actual friends. let's see. Lindsay says, I know this is a bit behind, but episode 210, the person who blacked out at the train. Just offering this, a friend of mine recently experienced a sort of seizure that made her black out unknowingly that really reminded me of this story. She was at the airport waiting for the plane in the lounge. Apparently, she had this seizure when nobody really noticed, and she was just sitting in a chair and was out long enough for her plane to board and leave without her knowledge. She told me the story about how she had been waiting for what felt like forever and finally went to ask the desk. They told her that the plane had boarded and departed, and she wondered why she didn't get on. She was shocked as she didn't realize anything had happened. A few weeks later, a neurologist confirmed that she did have some sort of seizure. I can't recall the name of the condition, but it was a very real and scary thing. I wonder if it could be the same thing. And I think it is. I think that's kind of what we were talking about. And a lot of the feedback that we got was that it was probably some type of mild seizure that just kind of makes you lose time.
Could be. Oh, yeah, that does make sense now. I said could be as a way to let you know I didn't remember, but now, yes, I am tracking that.
I thought it was just going to be
smiling and nodding.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be could be.
Yeah.
And
nothing.
That's that.
Nothing. Yeah.
Bring something to the table. No.
Hey, that was something. Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got for comments. Let's jump into some stories.
Sure thing. Sure thing. Well, I really wanted to talk about the Stork Genie's story from
this is cute.
Allie. Yeah, it was cute and interesting. And I think she may have answered her own question here. She wanted to know what those Stork Genies, Storks slash Genies could have been.
Yeah.
And if we assume it's something paranormal, I think she gave enough details to answer her own question.
Yeah.
She said that they most closely resembled Genie from Aladdin, which I think that's important to distinguish because when you dream about a person or a character, you know that's who it is.
Yeah.
And she would remember if she was dreaming of Robin Williams as the genie. And they weren't spitting images of Genie from Aladdin, didn't act like him and all that.
Yeah.
So, and just the fact that she understood them to be storks instead before they even brought out the baby.
That was what was weird to me, that she just knew somehow that they were storks. And it was also weird
ahead
that,
of time.
Yeah, yeah. And it was also weird that they did choose to be like the genie from Aladdin. That's such a very specific thing. Whatever entity or supernatural being was appearing to them clearly has seen Aladdin.
They
had to have. How did they, unless they plucked this out of her mind?
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is something that was big in her mind at the time. I mean, Aladdin was the biggest thing in the world for a while. Every Disney movie was the biggest thing in the world in the 90s when it came out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny that they actually knew what the genie from Aladdin was enough to appear at least resembling it.
I mean, it makes sense being a toddler, and she even mentioned not having much perspective or frames of reference way back then, like who really does when you're that age? And just to quote something directly that she said, that kind of ties in perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and you may remember, these figures chose to convey their essence in a friendly, mystical way, resembling the nearest symbol I had for a reference.
Yeah.
Aladdin's genie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that they were jinn, like literally genies, like a different term for them in English. And I know jinn aren't thought to be blue Aladdin genies, but they're still shapeshifters and manifest in ways that humans can recognize them. They're also not all evil. They're not all necessarily from Islamic roots. There's so many different kinds, and they just try to emotionally disarm us. So that could also explain their attempts to console her when she was all scared, like, hey, look, here's a baby.
Yeah.
So I really don't know, but I'm going with some sort of non-evil djinn entity. And I think she answered the question herself with that. Maybe she just was calling it genie.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that they chose that specific type of genie to look like, because I know that the artist that designed the genie for Aladdin, I'm pretty sure he like worked closely with Robin Williams, or at least tried to make him resemble Robin Williams in certain aspects. Like he clearly wasn't channeling like ancient images of the djinn or a genie. He was trying to make it look like a blue Robin Williams, and he did a pretty good job. Somehow he turned Robin Williams into a cartoon, and it was like one of the best things ever. And it's funny that they went with that, just like a commercialized mockery of what they actually are.
Yeah, they did a good job, I think.
Yeah.
They definitely look more blatantly demonic in the old ancient artwork that we see, but not too far off, I guess. But the ones I've seen typically have horns. You know, there's always horns involved.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, who's to say?
Yeah, it seems to be that way with most things, like mermaids. Mermaids specifically are terrifying in old literature and descriptions of them. And even stories, like all of the grim fairy tales, like Pinocchio, for one.
Ooh, yeah.
It's everything is so much darker than what we believe it to be or what we're told it is.
Mm-hmm. Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to talk about the girl in the corner of Jojo Brown's vision. This was really, really weird to me. And it reminded me of a few things. So they're seeing this little girl in the corner of their vision. They talk about how it's like always just like off to the side in the corner. But then sometimes they see it head on, like when they were near their closet and they turned around and she was like right there. But
I just got to say, sorry, head on, apply directly to the forehead. I had to get that out. I had to get that out.
No, it's okay.
When you said
it's
head
okay.
on. Anyway, continue.
No, I have so many like little vocal stems or like references and things like that that I just can't help but do. And I drive Natalia crazy because I can't help it.
I was getting physically restless unless I said that out loud.
Mm-hmm. No, it aches.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so this one kind of reminded me of the story that we now know is debunked, the Dybbuk box, when the owner of it, the person who was selling it on eBay or either purchased it on eBay, the guy who had the big story about the Dybbuk box and it basically unraveling his life and ruining his life, he would talk about how he would see figures only in the corners of his eyes. Like if he looked over there, they would be gone, but he would always see it in the periphery, never like head on. It would always be in the periphery. So that's where I thought this story was going. But then they actually said, no, this girl actually ran at me before. I think the last encounter they had with the little girl, it ran at them. And so that kind of blew that theory out of the water, that it could be related to the same type of entity that hides in your periphery. And then it also reminded me of when I was a kid and I saw my first floater in my vision, I was terrified. I thought there was some kind of worm in my eye that kept going into my head. And my mom could never convince me otherwise. I was like, no, you don't understand. She's like, no, everybody gets those. It's like if you when you first wake up, or if you look at the sun too long or something, you know, you get these little spots and you can't look directly at them. They just kind of float around. And this didn't make sense to me because I thought I was seeing worms in my eyeballs and I thought they were going into the back of my head.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to contribute to the conversation. Those little floater things. I thought I was the only one that saw those. And
for a long
time, I
thought
the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, forever. I saw an image. I'm sure you've seen it too, like a reconstructed version of it where it's that color that it looks like when you close your eyes really tight, but there's a light behind your eyelids. That color, that sort of color, but then they also can create that sort of like, kind of looks like what I would imagine E. coli looks like underneath a microscope.
Yes,
probably.
That's what it was scaring me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good Family Guy bit about that where they reference it and it's a cutaway and it's literally just Peter trying to look at it and the little squiggly guy is talking to him, up, you can't catch me. You're not going to look over here.
Yeah,
you look over here, I'm going to go over there. And that's exactly what it's like. It's really frustrating, actually. Another thing about this story is they didn't have an imaginary friend and they made sure that they told us that. They did not have any imaginary friends growing up. And welcome to the club. Welcome to the non-imaginary friend club.
Yeah, it's a cozy club. Not to get dark, but I wonder if some imaginary friends are a stress response.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that could explain a lot of them.
Yeah, definitely. They're transferring that energy into that, because they don't know how to get rid of that negative energy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I think people do that with a lot of things. You could do that with anything. You could do that with certain religions, certain beliefs, certain cults, all kinds of stuff.
Food, video games.
Video games, exactly. Yep. Yeah, and I didn't find any kind of trauma outlined in the story. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but they didn't feel fit to bring it up. And as we'll find out in my other story that I want to talk about this week, it is a common thing. It showed up again, but it seems like this person was just an unlucky victim of a spirit attachment, and they had a bad experience and eventually got rid of it just through their own will, telling it, "Leave me alone." And it seemed to work. But that being said, I kind of just want to jump over to my other story.
Sure.
The one from Nightshade Patel. So this one, they did have family trauma. And I feel like that's what presented itself as a haunting again. The story started off really sad. They talked about how everyone even picked on them in school for how bad their home life was. They felt like their mother didn't want them.
I don't necessarily think it's paranormal. I'm sure there might be something to explain it, but either way.
Maybe the explanation can be found in the chant that the being was muttering, the Ka Hum Hum thing. Like, what could that mean? What does Ka Hum Hum make you think of?
I immediately just think of like the sort of phonetic sounds that something would try to make when attempting to speak. Like, it's a very guttural back of the throat type of sound.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like, I think like a baby blabbering type of thing, but it's just very like a
Ka-hum-hum.
Pushing out air at the most primitive type of way.
Yeah, it could be a sound rather than a language, something ritualistic, symbolic, who knows?
Who knows? Mm-hmm. It's so strange, strange. But even stranger, got to acknowledge the elephant in the room, that alien encounter story.
This is my favorite story of the week so far. I loved reading through this one.
Oh, you did? Okay, well, good. I'm on the fence.
Well,
as I read it.
I think it's fairly obvious we're dealing with a vampire, right? I'm not seeing an alien.
No.
I mean...
I see what you're saying.
The two needle marks on the neck?
The big black eyes, though. The big black eyes and the shining bright light.
Yeah.
Do vampires glow in bright white lights?
I don't know, but they could just be like in between states of wakefulness, like hallucinating maybe. Maybe that's the vision that the vampire was projecting in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The two needle marks on the neck... without any explanation, and or rather they healed without any explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's literally a vampire. That's the mark of a vampire. And they saw
fair.
It like, they said that they saw it like crouching, like in the window or something. It made me think of when Butters thought that he was a vampire on South Park. He was in Cartman's window or whatever.
Yeah. He did title the story Going to and Fro the Earth, so maybe he thought that it was an alien. Maybe that's where I immediately went with the story as well. But I do like the vampire thing. Now looking at it in that different light, no pun intended, maybe there's something there. I just kind of, it read a little fantastical, but at the same time, he insists that it wasn't just a dream, it was a true story. So we're just going to, we're going to take it at face value, as we do. I just wasn't too sure that you'd be a fan of this one, but I'm glad that you do like it.
I actually was. And it's probably because I'm in the middle of my third reading of the Vampire Lestat, because I'm trying to finally get through those Vampire Chronicles by Anne Rice. Mm. And so it could be that I have vampires on the brain, but two needle marks on the neck. It's dead on evidence that this was a vampire for me.
So he was orally violated by a vampire in his sleep.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Hey, works for me.
Well, if you guys have any vampire stories, any alien stories, any abduction stories, any haunting stories, any stories that are just plain weird, send them on in, stories@oddtrails.com, and we'll sit here and, try and figure out what's going on and give you absolutely no answers whatsoever, just our dumb armchair hypotheses. And sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails if you'd like to get access to ad-free versions of our episodes. It's the best way to listen to the podcast and support the show. And make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast, at crypticcountypodcasts.com. See you guys next week. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.